Okay, so we are going to start Perek Chof Gimel. It's one of the most complicated prokim in Tanya. And if you learn it 10, 12, 14 times, you'll come to see that it's also one of the most powerful prokim in Tanya. Last three prokim, we've learned at least an introduction to the concept of Tzimtzum, the concept of the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates and simultaneously conceals himself in creation. That is the most, the greatest form of Tzimtzum, as he concluded by saying that Avodah Zarah is comprised of the ability of a creation to be able to proclaim its total independence, despite the fact that it is created moment to moment by Kodesh Baruch Hu, but that's the power of the concealment. The concealment is so intense that the individual Bria has the ability to deny the fact that it is sustained and created moment by moment by HaKadosh Baruch. Now we're going to go to another two levels of creation, each of which has a greater level of exposure. Rather than Tzimtzum, they each have a greater level of exposure to godliness. He opens with what seems to be a contradiction. Perek Chof Gimel. It's on page Chof Ches, chapter 23. V'im kol hanal, based upon these introductions, yuvan, we will understand v'yavoyer, and it will be explained heitiv b'toysviz bir, with great expansion. Masha Amru Bizoyer, we find in the Zohar Kodesh that he says, Dairais of a Kutchabrihu Kuluchat. We find the powerful statement that we had already earlier in Perek Dalad and Perek He, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah are one, an organic unity. And yet, Ubi Tikunim, in the section called the Tikune Zohar, Pirshu, there it's explained, the Ramach Pikudin, that the 248 commandments, Inun, they are Ramach Evarim Demacha. They are 248 limbs of the king. Now that seems to be contradictory. Because which one is it? Is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one with Torah? Or is it that the mitzvahs are limbs? Well, limbs seems to suggest that there is some level of separation. The limb is not the being. So what are we talking about here? Explains the Baal Tanya, the Fi. Here's how we should understand this. The Fi Sham Mitzvahs Hem Pnimis Rotzene Elyon. Because mitzvahs are the internal desire of the highest Rotzene. V'cheftzai Ho Amiti and his true will Hamaluvish B'cholu Elamois Helyonim V'tachtonim Lach Yoysam. Mitzvahs are the true desire that are embodied in all of the worlds to give them their life force. Kichol chiyusam v'shifam toli b'maisa mitzvah shel ha-tachtonim k'noida. Because the entire life force of all of the world, our world included, is dependent upon the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Now he used here several words. He used pnimius rotzen elyon, the internal. What's the difference between pnimius rotzen and chitzonius rotzen? So here the Svarim explain as follows. If you say to somebody, why are you going to work? So the person's going to say, I go to work because I have a desire to keep my job. Now, is that the sum total of the desire? Clearly not. So you take it deeper. Why do you want to keep your job? Because I want to make money. Okay, that's another deeper level of ratzon. Why do you want to make money? So the person will tell you, I want to make money because I want to be able to spend money. I want to be able to feed my family. I want to be able to have COVID. Whatever the driving force is, that drives each one of those becomes a greater level of external ratzon compared to the internal ratzon. So too, the Rabbeinu Shalom has a ratzon to create the worlds, but that's not the pnimius ratzon. The pnimius ratzon, the true internal desire, is because, as described earlier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires our mitzvahs. So that is the pnimius haratzon. As a result of that, it is only because of our mitzvah fulfillment that the worlds continue to exist. Isvenimtze, he continues after the period, shemaisa mitzvahs v'kiyuman, that the action, our mitzvahs, Hulevush hapnimi. It is a internal garment, lipnimius ratzon elyon, of Hashem's internal ratzon. And that means, let's take Hanochas Tefillin as an example. So from the action of the person's putting on Tefillin is Nimshach. By doing that action, and by doing so, fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true internal Ratzon, is Nimshach Ur V'chiyas Ratzon Elyon. So the Ribbono Shel Olam pours forth his Ur, his energy, his life source, of the highest, deepest Ratzon, Lislavish Bedomis, to then infuse the worlds with their kiyum, with their life force. Therefore, Ulechen Nikroim Evarim de Malka, for this reason, the fulfillment of mitzvahs are referred to as being limbs of the king, Derech Moshel, in the way of an example, Kimoi Shevari Gufa Adam. Just like if you were to say, let's take any one of the external limbs of a human being. Hem levush l'nafshois, any one of the limbs, the hands, the eyes, the ears, the nose, any one of those things are a levush. They are a garment to the soul, meaning they allow the soul to express itself. That's how you know the person's alive. And any one of the limbs, when they do their action, they act as an agent to the soul. And nonetheless, ubitelim ligamre aleho, those limbs are completely and totally secondary to the neshama, mikol v'kol. So secondary that kimiyad sho'ele b'ritzoyne shel adam lifshoit yodai oiraglai, the moment that the person has a desire to stretch out his hand or his leg, henishmoyes l'ritzoyne tekev amiyad, immediately the foot or the arm will immediately stretch out, b'lishum tzivoy v'yamid alahen, without a command having to go forth, okay, arm, stretch. That process doesn't need to take place. U'b'lishum shi'akla, without any tarrying at all. Elekirege mamish, the moment, literally the moment it happens, kishalav ritzaynai. What's the point? The point is that there's an extremely close bond between the neshama, the desire, and the limb. So much so that it responds instantly to the desires of the person. So too, kach derech moshel, so too must we understand that when the Zohar uses the parable, that the mitzvahs are called the chiyus, the evarim de malka, so too must we understand hachiyus shel ma'isa mitzvahs v'kiyuman, that the life source of our mitzvah actions and their fulfillment of those mitzvahs, who bota ligamre ligabi rotzen elyon amalivish bay, when we fulfill a mitzvah, so just like our arm is totally nullified and secondary to our neshama, so too must we understand that when we fulfill a mitzvah, just like our arm is secondary to our neshama, our arm becomes secondary to Hashem's ultimate ratzayn, hamalovish bay, v'nasalei mamish kegof the neshama. We need to understand the awesome power of what's happening when we fulfill a mitzvah. When we fulfill a mitzvah, we become, the limb becomes to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu what the limb normally becomes to our own neshama. So too, even the external force of the godly soul, Hamikayim Vayisa Mitzvah, that fulfills the mitzvah, meaning the whole person, Shukayach B'chinas HaMa'ase Shelo, because after all, that's the battery pack that allows the action to take place. So now, the neshama itself becomes totally wrapped up in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the neshama becomes also, the whole person, at that moment that he's fulfilling the mitzvah, becomes completely bottled to Hashem's higher desire, and it's totally nullified, it's secondary to the ultimate will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Al Kain, for this reason, All of the limbs of the person that fulfill any mitzvah. We understand that the ma'isa, this action of the godly soul, is completely wrapped up in them while the person is fulfilling the mitzvah. We got to understand that the limb that's fulfilling that mitzvah at that moment becomes literally a chariot to the highest will. For example, the arm that is stretching out tzedakah to the poor person, or an arm that's doing any other mitzvah, or Viraglaim amahalchas the dvar mitzvah, or feet that are running to do a dvar mitzvah. V'chein hapeh v'loshen, so to the mouth and the tongue, shemedabrim divrei Torah, that are speaking words of Torah. Or v'amoyach shemaharvi divrei Torah, or the mind that is actively thinking divrei Torah. V'yir shemayim, or matters of fear of heaven. U'b'gdulas Hashem, or the greatness of Hashem Baruch Hu. So all of those things, at the time that they are doing, actively fulfilling the mitzvah, become a literal chariot to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehu shomer Chazal. With this we get a glimpse into why Chazal explained Ha'ovois hein hein ha-merkava, that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were a merkava, a chariot. Two distinctions. Number one, with us, it's aver, meaning at the time that our hand is giving tzedakah, the hand becomes a merkava. At the time that the foot is running to a mitzvah, the foot becomes a merkava. At the time that the mouth is speaking the Torah, the mouth becomes a merkava. Whereas by the avos, their entire being had no other agenda aside from fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number one. Number two, because they were completely separated from many matters of this world. And they had no other intent all of their days. So first of all, it was not aver specific. Number two, it was not temporary. It was an ongoing process because they had no other agenda, no other desires throughout their lives. So we're by the semicolon. Now, so that's the concept of a merkava. That's the awesome power that we have when we fulfill a mitzvah. Nonetheless, we must understand that a merkava has the horse and the rider. And as bottle as the horse is to the horse is not the rider. They're two separate beings. The neshama is not the guf. They could be awesomely close to the point where the guf immediately does the will of the neshama, but they're not one. This is in contrast to hamachshov v'hir b'divrei Torah, the thought and the contemplation of words of Torah shebemoyach that are taking place in the mind, in the brain, and v'koyach ha'dibur b'divrei Torah shebepeh, the words of Torah that are understood in the mind and being spoken by the mouth, Shem levushim apnimim shel nefesh ha'likis, they are the internal expressions of the godly soul. Unlike action, which is the external expression of the godly soul, thought and speech are the internal ones. V'kol shkein, and for sure, nefesh ha'likis atzma hamaloveshes b'am, and for sure the godly soul that is wrapped up at the time in the fulfillment of those mitzvahs. So, all of those things, kulam miyuchodim mamish biyichud gomor b'ratzon elyon, the distinction of the study of Torah versus any other fulfillment of mitzvah is this very concept. Now, this is very similar to what we discussed in Perek Dal and Perek Hei, but he takes it here a step further. And that is that the unity that takes place when a person learns Torah is b'yichud gamar b'ratzon elyon. It is a total unification with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire. And v'loy merkava levad, it's not only a chariot. Kirat in Elyon, hu hu hadvar halacha atzma. Because we need to understand that when a person fulfills and carries out a mitzvah, so he's fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when a person contemplates Ratzon Hashem, when a person contemplates words of Torah, there he is completely absorbing the godliness into himself in a unity which is far deeper and greater than being a Merkava. And it's almost anti-logical. Because we want, in human terms, we want to hire somebody, or a melech wants to give out a tzivui, so the last thing a melech wants is a bunch of people who are sitting around contemplating what he wants. The king wants his building to get built. I'm not interested in having a bunch of philosophers sitting around thinking about what I want. Masha'enken, here, the exact opposite is true. The contemplation that takes place in Divrei Torah is more intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than is the actual carrying out of the mitzvah in its action. Again, let's see it inside. Kirotzen Elyon, hu hu hadvar halacha atzma. We must understand that this rotzen, this highest desire, is itself the godliness shemahar umedaberba that he's thinking and speaking about. Shekol halachos hen prote hamshoches pnimius rotzen elyon atzma, because every detail in halacha is its own individual hamshacha of the deepest rotzen of Hashem. Shekach ala b'rtzayne, that's Hashem's desire. Shedover zeh mutter, or kosher, that this thing should be permissible, or kosher. Or potter, or it should be exempt, or zakai, or innocent, or the hepech, or the opposite of any of these things. And whether or not, and this is why it's completely irrelevant as to whether or not the halacha will ever actually take place physically, whether it's ever going to come to fruition. And you can learn entire years of sugyas that will never come to be, and it doesn't make a difference. Because the point is that this is pnimius rotzen elyon. This is the most intimate desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kaviyachol, his unity. The same is true of all the combinations of the letters of Tanakh. They are each one its own hamshach, its own draw of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom and desire, hamyuchodes bein tzoyf Baruch Hu, that are unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tachlis hayichud in the most intimate way. Because as we explained earlier, unlike any chachma, any physical thing, when it comes to Torah, hu hayedeya v'hamada, the Ribbono Shel Olam is unlike any other chachma, where you can separate the wisdom from the creator, from the composer of that wisdom. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, hu hayedeya v'hamada, he is the wisdom himself. And therefore, the moment that a person absorbs any concept of Torah into his mind, he has absorbed HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Therefore, we now understand the Zohar that we opened with. When it comes to Chachmas HaTorah, then Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. V'loy evorim demalko l'chud kipikudin. And they are not the limbs of the king, as we had earlier, when a person fulfills a mitzvah. That is a very strong unity, but it doesn't have the same intimacy that takes place when a person comprehends and is actively thinking a Torah concept. And he explains further. Since this highest Ratzon that is completely and totally unified with the infinite, b'tachlis hayichud, who begilui legamre v'lay best upon him, due to the fact that it is totally and completely revealed, and it is not concealed in any which way, klal uklal b'nefesh olikis ulevu she'apnimim, she'emachshov v'dibu rabbi sesho, due to the fact that this ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely and totally revealed in the thought and in the speech at the time that a person is Shadam Oisik B'divrei Torah. The time that the person is toiling in the words of Torah, Hare gam nefesh levusheh elam yuchod mamish bein tzayv baruch hu b'hoiseshah b'tachlis hayichud. It is such a phenomenal unity that's taking place with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment when the person is actively involved in Torah thought. Ki yichud diburay machshav tishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mohusay v'yatzmosay kenal. Remember in the last parak he said that there's a point that by us, we first have thought, and then after we have thought, we have speech. And this once the speech leaves the person, so it's no longer in the thought. Then it's separated. But he said, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's diburim remain as if the thought, the words were still in our mind before they ever left our lips. Torah always remains that way. So therefore, when a person is involved in Divrei Torah, and Divrei Torah, we are to understand, always remain unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most intimate way, like words before they ever emanated from the mind to the mouth, is therefore, it remains the yichud of Diburay Machshavti Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mehusay V'yatzmusay Kenal. It's a total, complete unification with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ein shum davar nifrid ki imbehest upon him kenal. After all, everything in the world, there's only a concealment here. But when it comes to Divrei Torah, this is categorically different. There is no concealment taking place. It is complete and total exposed godliness. Now, one thing we need to talk about is the fact that we've learned, especially in the Likutei Torah, and Nefesh HaChaim talks about this as well, is that Torah itself has gone through many concealments to the point where, you know, you're learning the Hilchas Basa B'Cholav, you're learning this, what happens if you mix meat and milk. Well, Torah in its supreme, sublime form is not about meat and milk. It's about all kinds of midos and spheres and all kinds of holy things. So what do you mean here it's totally revealed? In what way is it different than the rest of creation which is concealed? And here we need to go back to what he said earlier, and that is that in the Baal Tanya's approach, it doesn't make a difference if you're hugging the king and the king is not wearing anything, or if you're hugging the king and the king is wearing several garments. You're still hugging the king. And that hugging of the king is revealed. So it's very different from the world, where the world has a denial. Here, ultimately, it is a levush of exposed godliness. And he continues, V'loyoyd, not only is it complete godliness, Ela sheyichudam hu b'yaseh seis v'yaseh roiz miyichud eirin tzeif baruch hu ba'ilam esal yoynim. The power that a Jew can access in the study of any concept in Torah is more unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than is the most revealed godliness even in the world of Atzilus. Because that is already the beginning of a process of hester, of concealment. Whereas here, any word of Torah which is understood is already unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a completely revealed way. Because the Ratzin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely and totally revealed in the soul and in the levush of those who toil in Torah. Sharei hu haTorah atzma. The Rebbeinu Shlom is one with the Torah itself. V'chol olamos elyonim, and even the highest celestial worlds, mikabim chiyus me'or v'chiyus hanimshach me'haTorah. All of those worlds only receive their sustenance from the energy that is drawn from Torah. But Torah itself is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shur etzayin v'chachmas yisbach kidechsev. Like it says, Kulam b'chachmasis, all of the worlds are only made with chachma. But v'im ken ha-chachma, shi'at Torah, if all of the worlds are made with chachma, it's the map of the world, then the chachma itself, which is l'mayla mikulan, Torah itself is above any one of the worlds. V'hi hi ritzani yizbarach, And now he takes the ultimate plunge, which here he introduces a concept which I believe he was completely and totally obsessed with, and that is the concept of the Seiviv Kol Almin. V'hi Ritzoyna Yizbarach Torah is the Ratzin of Hashem HaNikr Seiviv Kol Almin. This is the energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is too powerful to be absorbed internally in any component of the world. It is that which is referred to as the Seif of Kolam, and that which envelops all the world. It's so exalted, it is so sublime, that it cannot be contained within the world. It sustains the world by illuminating from above, B'chinas Makif. It is this ultimate light, which is a garment in the neshama and its levushim and all of its components, but is gilui mamish in the most revealed, explicit way. When a person studies Torah, we don't sense it. We understand that even though we can't perceive how exalted and how sublime this energy is, nonetheless, it is the fact. He says, not only that, the only reason we can tolerate it is because, thank God, we can't see it. Because if we really saw it, we never would be able to tolerate the light of it. At the beginning of the process of the creation of the highest worlds, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu already begins to limit his energy, and therefore those worlds are created only with the Or HaMemale. Now, there's a very fundamental concept that we must discuss here, and that is that our Aveda in Limud HaTorah is always, throughout our lives, will always be to take the Soivev and make it a Memala. And that means as follows. Let's say a child is starting to learn Aleph Beis. The moment he gets Aleph Beis, and he understands the letters, so those letters become an Or HaMemale, meaning he was able to integrate them. But putting words together, Ivri, at that point, is Arasayvim. That hovers above him. That's beyond him. Then he goes on to learn Ivri, and now that becomes internal. He's taken that Arasayvim of Torah, and he's turned it internal, and now Chumash becomes above him. And throughout a person's life, the Avodah is always to take those Eiris, which are above, that hover above, and to turn them into internal things. So up until you heard this brilliant shir, this Perek in Tanya was a Ara Saiviv, and now that you've understood it, it becomes an Ara Mamal, it becomes internal, because now we grasp it, now we have some understanding of what he was saying. And this is the constant Avodah throughout life, that is to constantly take things which seem to be above us and beyond us, to put forth the effort to take yeshas and sugyas or whatever it is, those areas which seem to be above our comprehension, and to put forth the work and to bring them internally, because the as he said earlier, don't ever forget that Torah always has both qualities. There is not only the fact that it has this awesome intimacy, but people oftentimes forget that Torah is a mitzvah also. And they end up, by forgetting about that, they lose the other quality of becoming a Merkava. Torah has not only the quality that it has this awesome intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it is also the fulfillment of a mitzvah. So you have both of these qualities going on simultaneously, that the person becomes a Merkava to the mitzvah, and additionally, the person has this awesome intimacy of being able to comprehend a Ora Seivev, to touch this awesome, infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is inaccessible even in the highest of worlds. Finally, he says, Ubeze Yuvan. With this, we understand right after the bracket. Ubeze Yuvan, Lama God Lama Oid, Malas HaIsik B'Tayri, Yoisim Mikol HaMitzvahs. Now, with this, we have a very clear understanding why it is that the advantage of the study of Torah outweighs all other mitzvahs. V'afilu mitzvila, even the davening, sheyichud olamos elyonim, which is bringing together all of the worlds. Ah, he asks, v'odim yishen terosu umnosei tzorch lahavsik. If that's the case, why should we ever stop the study of Torah to daven? That's because if a person would never do anything but the study of Torah, like there were Tanoim and Amoraim that did that, they did not need to stop for davening. But due to the fact that we stop anyway for other things, therefore we have to stop for davening as well. After the second brackets, and if he says, based upon this, any thinking person should be able to draw upon himself an awesome fear, an awesome awe, at the time that a person studies Torah, when a person will contemplate, how it is that his nefesh and any of its levushim that are in his mind and his mouth, hem yuchad mamish b'tachlis hayichud, that they are unified with this awesome unification, b'ratzon ha'elyon v'ayin sof baruch hu, and mamish with the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hamizgal lebohem, that are completely and totally revealed, as he is discussing here. And so much so, mashakol ha'elom ezol yenev tachtonim kiloy chashiv kamei, to such a degree that even the highest celestial worlds have no standing at all before any concept of Torah. Uka'ayin ve'efes mamish, they're totally, completely nullified and worthless. Achayim eslabish v'teicha mamish, to the degree that they can't tolerate this oyer, and the save of kol almin, to the degree where, due to the fact that they are already oylam, the word oylam means to conceal. Therefore, this light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only hover above them. Bibchinis makif ane hovering way lachyoyusam ikachyusam, to give them their main life. Rak eza ha'ara mislabeshes b'teichem, only a shine can go actually internally into them. Mashi chaydam lizbash lizbal tabim tzias legamri, only the smallest bit of this ur is able to go into them in order to sustain them, that they shouldn't cease to exist. With this we understand, you know why Hashem gave us all these chukim? So that we come to have awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if a person comprehends that all of this awesome Torah was given to us in order that we can literally absorb into our minds the infinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that leaves the person with an awesome yira. It is about this awesome fear and awe that a person can experience in the study of Torah. Amru, it's about this that Chazal say, Im ein chachma ein yira. Without wisdom, there can't be any true awe. There is no source for real awe without Torah. V'atorah nikras etzla tara l'darta. To this degree, Torah is called to this yira a gate to the dear commission k'savin b'makamacha, and he says the final comforting words here: Ela delav kol meichel savul da yirikazu. Most of our minds cannot even begin to comprehend the fear that we really should sense when we study Torah. Ach gaman delay savul meichel klal yirizu. But even a person who can't tolerate at all any form of this awe, lo yimino v'le mitzosim, not even a little bit of it. Due to the fact that the person has a lowly, inferior soul, we need to remember that even when we think about it, we ponder all day, we don't come to an actual, expressed, living fear. Nonetheless, that should not stop a person from learning, because ultimately what's true is true. The intimacy takes place no matter what. And therefore, a person shouldn't get bummed out about the fact that they can't experience emotionally this yira, because ultimately the intimacy takes place without that. This issue of contemplating the greatness of what takes place during Limud HaTorah becomes somewhat of a controversial topic as to how much time a person is supposed to spend thinking about this in contrast to how much time a person should spend actually learning the sugya. So how much, how often is a person supposed to stop to contemplate, okay, what's going on here? Wow, I was able to absorb into my mind a godly concept. How much focus is that supposed to take? And this becomes one of the points of controversy between the Talmidei HaGaon and the Talmidei Baal Shem. But everybody agrees that this is a very worthwhile effort to recognize the miracle that takes place in the absorption of any Torah concept into the human mind, because it is an intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that not only is it clearly greater than any other form of godliness that exists in creation, but even compared to the awesome power of being a Merkava that takes place in Kima Mitzvahs, the miracle that takes place in Limud HaTorah outweighs it as well. Yetz Hashem, next week, we will learn...